our sponsor. Reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. Now, the northern tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali experienced defeat, but they're assured that their condition will be reversed when God makes a light-filled appearance. The joy they will experience will resemble celebrations of great harvest, because God will deliver them from everything that diminishes or oppresses them. The people in the northern parts of Israel have experienced gloom and darkness because of the destruction wrought by the Assyrian military forces. To these people, the prophet announces the shining of a great light of salvation. Okay. There will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord. Now read responsibly from Psalm chapter 27, verses 1 and 4 through 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter, hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary, and raise me high upon a rock.
Even now my head is lifted up above my enemies who surround me. Therefore I will offer sacrifice in the sanctuary, sacrifices of rejoicing. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me.
My heart speaks your message. Seek my face, your face, O Lord, I will seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not away. You have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God, my salvation.
The Gospel is from Matthew, the 4th chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the sea in Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So after 2 weeks of focusing on the baptism of Jesus and the wild and woolly work of the Holy Spirit, we now follow Jesus as he picks up where John the Baptist had left off. Jesus returned from the desert where he was tempted, and now with John in jail, it seems that Jesus recognized that now was the time. This was the moment to claim his identity. Church do so often. We recruit a team. Jesus approached the fishermen who were hard at work on their boats and their nets. These were hardworking people, the kind of people who get up at dawn and work until the job is done. These are the kind of people whose hands and feet are calloused and worn from hard work, and whose work is made light through camaraderie and humor, friendship, story, and song. On that particular day, they were ripe for recruiting when Jesus approached them while they were already hard at work. He asked them, and they followed. It's often said that if you want something done right, you need to look no further than someone who is already hard at work, someone who is already busy, because they already know how to get stuff done, because their work ethic speaks for themselves. I find it interesting that some of my best ideas come to me when I'm doing ordinary physical labor, like washing the dishes, or vacuuming, or mowing the lawn, or going for a walk. Physical work has a way of cleaning out the cobwebs and giving clarity for our lives. Clarity, that's what it seems that the first disciples had. They were simple fishermen, blue-collar workers of that day, as were others like masons and carpenters and other women and men who worked with their hands. Jesus knew that the mission ahead of him required a team, and not just any team, a team who would follow him and keep following until the very end. And so he built his team. He told these humble fishermen, "Follow me," and they did. Did these fishermen realize that Jesus had just reeled them in, hook, line, and sinker? We're told from the reading from Matthew that they went immediately left their nets and followed, Peter and Andrew, and then James and John. Sure, the initial recruits were men, but others followed too. Women and children and other men, there was a whole gaggle of them following Jesus around. People with hard-working hands, and from other walks of life, too. What strikes me as interesting here is that in the written record of Jesus' recruitment of these disciples, his approach was not exactly savvy. He went up to them and said, "Follow me." Had these fishermen heard of Jesus before? Had word of Jesus spread throughout the countryside into cities, making Jesus into some sort of urban legend? We don't know. All we know is that the fishermen dropped their nets and they followed. When these guys followed Jesus, they did it wholeheartedly. They were, as we would say, all in. Little did they know exactly what they were getting themselves into. The transformation of their lives, and the transformation of this world. Transformation. This is something that's required of all disciples of Jesus in order that we could see and hear in a new way, you and I included. See, without transformation, we are admirers of Jesus rather than followers of Jesus. As admirers, we can stand back and ooh and ah over the strength of Jesus' spirit as he's tested in the wilderness, or the many miracles he performs. As admirers, we can comfortably be nothing but onlookers to the journey of Jesus to the cross, but we cannot be transformed. As admirers, we can feel sorry for Jesus on the cross, but admirers won't experience transformation of the resurrection quite the same as his followers. We become admirers rather than followers when we push Jesus away, when we keep him an arm's length distance away, preferring to participate at our own level of comfort, preferring to opt out of the transformation that he brings into our lives. I myself have done this, and I've talked about it before, and maybe you've experienced this too. But just as Jesus chose the right time to begin his work, he also chose the right people for the work. This gaggle of guys were hungry for transformation. They were thirsty for something more. Just as Jesus recognized the need for a team to accomplish this mission, we too realize that we need one another in this life of discipleship. Sure, we could try to do it on our own, but it wouldn't be nearly as enriching. We could keep one another at an arm's length distance from each other and put on our brave faces. But is that really what Jesus had in mind? Transformation is not easy, but it's necessary. That is the repentance that Jesus talks about. It's a new way of seeing and being and loving and giving. Transformation is the redeeming work of God that peels away the layers of ourselves and this world and helps us to see that God is already in the world and that God is already within God's people. So today we have a decision to make, not individually, but as a community. Will we be admirers or followers of Jesus? It shouldn't be a difficult decision, but things like nets tend to get in the way. Other things get in the way too. Again, our decision is not an individual one, but one of community. What will our discipleship look like now and into the future? Instead of operating as individuals guided by our mission, we can function like the geese that the children demonstrated for us. When Jesus says, get up and go, let's go. We work together as a team. We take turns leading the team, and we encourage one another with honks. The question, again, is, will we be followers of Jesus or simply admirers? That is the question that we ponder together in this new year and in this new season of this congregation, in our ministry together. Will you pray with me? Create in us, O God, the will to do your work as a team, to encourage one another in the new season of life that we face together. Give us courage and give us enthusiasm for the work ahead. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.